scriptures from Timothy. It'll refresh your memory. I don't think I'll be getting into anything that he taught. But if you're here tonight and want to make notes, I'll also be using other scriptures to support my text. So I want to use 2 Timothy tonight, first chapter, verses 6 and 7. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. The title of my talk would be Stir Up the Gift of God. And I don't know how much he covered that when he was in 2 Timothy there. But I think he got run out of chapter, so he probably did. Starting with the 6th verse, it says, Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you. You see from that scripture, from that line, that the apostle knew that Timothy had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because he knew, because he said, through the laying on of my hands. Now we still see that in scripture in the churches today. And don't make it unusual when you see someone lay their hands on a person and they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now Paul is in a dungeon. His life is about to be taken. He's been locked in a cold Roman cell for some time, regarded as a criminal, an evil doer, and there's not much hope for him to sacrifice his life for the call of God. And that reminds me, we've got one going on in around this week. The minister has been charged with something besides being a Christian now, so because the world raised up. Brought up so much complaining about that. So they won't tell him what he's been charged with, but he's facing death. So, you know, as Christians, the world should begin to bombard heaven. But Paul was ready to sacrifice his life for the call of God on his life. He was ready to be offered, and the time of departure has come. And here he is giving instruction to this young preacher, who he called his son Timothy, as to how he was to carry on after his departure. And how important it is. He begins to talk to Timothy about the Holy Ghost. And that's what I want to cover tonight. I want to talk to you about the Holy Ghost. And here's the same scripture in the Amplified Bible. But that is why I remind you to stir up, to rekindle the embers, fan the flame, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire. Right? Okay, just to feel the presence of the inner fire that is in you by means of the laying on of my hands. Now let's analyze. Paul is talking about the gift of God. The gift of God that he's talking about is not one of the gifts of the Spirit that we find in Corinthians. No. The gift of God that Paul is talking about is the gift of the Holy Ghost himself. You heard me say himself. See, the Holy Ghost is the third member of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. So, and it says himself. You see, the gift of God to the sinner is eternal life. But the gift of God to the saint is the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Spirit. Now here Paul is talking about that gift. And he said, I remind you to stir up the gift. In other words, the gift of God, the Spirit of God, must be stirred up within us. And that's what's been going on here for many weeks. The gift of God has been stirring and stirring us. And in other words, the Holy Ghost is an inner fire, and that's what's going on around here. Then he amplifies that here in means to rekindle the embers, to fan the flame, and to keep burning the gift of God, that inner fire. And I was raised out in the country, and the only heat that we had in our house was, until I was a big boy, 15 years old, by the age or so, and it was the fireplace. My daddy was weak. I'd help my daddy cut the wood, but during the winter, he'd build the fire, and the last thing that Dad would do before he go to bed, he put a couple of new logs on the fire, and then he would begin to stir the embers and stir. get up in the middle of the night and stir the embers, fan the fire, fan the flames, and it would continue to warm the house until morning. But the inner fire will not keep burning. It will not keep burning up in the fireplace like it ought to unless we do something about it. So we have to do something about keeping that inner fire burning in our hearts. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. We need to keep the fire of God burning in our hearts. It's one thing to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, and it's another thing to keep the inner fire burning brightly within us. Excuse my voice. I didn't know I was hoarse until we started singing. But that's how quiet I've been this week. I wonder what blew that. But the Bible teaches that there is a baptism in the Holy Ghost. In Matthew, the scripture says John was indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance and with water. John said, "There cometh one after me whose sandals I am not willing to carry. He shall baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire." Hallelujah. Think about that, the Holy Ghost and fire. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus tells them, he's talking to the disciples in verse 4. This is God's words. Jesus is speaking, and we're going to do what he tells us to do. Folks, I can never tell you or explain to you the difference that baptism in the Holy Ghost makes in the life of anybody. My vocabulary does not allow me to explain the difference or to describe the change that comes over people when they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want to look at Acts 1 now, verses 4 to 5, if you're following in your Bible. Acts 1, verses 4 to 5. Now, this is the Lord Jesus Christ talking along with Luke. Now, I want everybody to say these few words after me, if you will. Please repeat what I say. The Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, the Son of God, my Savior, my Lord, the one that I listen to, is saying these words. Look at Acts 1. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise. Wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me." That was Luke talking. And here's what Jesus said: "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." That's Jesus speaking. It's written in red. And in Mark chapter 16, he said, one of the signs that would follow believers is, in my name they will speak with new tongues. Now, the tongues were mentioned in the Old Testament. Isaiah the prophet prophesied about that. He said, with stammering lips and stammering tongues, he will speak to his people. He said in the church the gift of tongues. So Jesus was saying to his followers here in the Acts, don't go out to the world. Don't go out in the world. Wait. You're not ready until you receive the baptism from heaven. He said, wait on the power of the Holy Ghost. Now in Acts 1 verse 8, it says, you shall receive power. You shall receive power. Says ability, efficiency in life. Now, is there anybody in this house here that portrays kids that don't know that we need power, that we need efficiency, that we need life? How many of you that's married, husband or two wives, you know that you need power, ability, efficiency in life? If you're working on a secular job, you know that you realize that you need power, you need efficiency, you need might. Anybody here living in this world will soon find problem. I never have a trial. Never have any trouble. I don't need anything. I think you would have to agree with me to say that is dumb. That's completely out of reality. I've never met a man that didn't have some kind of a problem or trouble. Because the word says in the world, you will have trials, you will have tests, you will have tribulation, you will have sickness, you will be weak. Now, I've often heard people say, I don't know why I'm sick. I love the Lord with all my heart, and I live for him as well as I can. But why am I sick? Why does cancer take it over my body? Folks, Jesus Christ is still in charge. And he did not bring that thing against you. But you're living in a wicked world full of sin. And you will have trials. You will have tribulation. You will have sickness in your body. But Jesus said, you shall have power. You will have power to get through that. Thank God that he didn't leave us here without available power. You shall receive power. You shall receive ability. You shall receive efficiency in life. When? After your glad tidings? No. You shall receive power when you walk down the aisle of Second Baptist Church and sign the roll? No. Our Main Street Baptist Methodist Church, you receive power. Or go to the St. Peter's Catholic Church, will you receive power? No, it doesn't say you receive power when you leave one church and go to another. It doesn't say you receive power when the choir is singing "Just As I Am" without one plea, and you walk down that aisle. No, it doesn't say you will have power. Or you walk across the football field in a great stadium filled with people. At the end of the service, the evangelist gives an invitation. But that does not give you power. It says you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Hallelujah. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Thank God there is a reality in the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And it says stir up. I've said all of that to let you know that the Bible does teach the baptism in the Holy Ghost. When they got the baptism of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, it says right here in Acts 2, and this is Luke, I assume this author of the Acts, he's talking to Theophilus, and he says, now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, it was a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire. One sat upon each of them, and they were what? All. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Now, that's not just the Pentecostal experience, folks. All. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. There was no denomination there. Let me tell you, we're glad tidings, or we're the Assembly of God. We're not the only one that has the right to do that. No, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Every Catholic has a right to that. Every Baptist, every Methodist, every denomination, and every armed denomination has a right to the Holy Ghost. And they were all filled. So they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak in tongues. Folks, everybody has a right to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. And in the early church, that was a normal thing. It was a normal thing to be baptized and speak in tongues in the early church. And you know, you have the baptism. Nobody can tell you don't. When you begin to speak in other tongues, please listen, your spirit man does not begin to speak until you begin to speak in other tongues. I want to say that again. Your spirit man does not begin to speak until you begin to speak in other tongues. I remember when our little boy was born many, many years ago. What a handsome little guy he was. So loving. After a few days, we noticed he began to focus his eyes on us, and he'd walk around the room, and he'd keep his eyes on us. we'd lay and watch him day and night, just by hours of watching that little guy. And then finally one day when he was just a few months old, he began to say, "Daddy, Daddy, and Mama, Mama." You see, that was that little boy's intellect talking. Little mind was beginning to work. He began to speak. You see, that was the first time he began to talk. It was his little intellect. Do you know that you have a man on the inside of you? He can hear, he can speak, and if you'll let him. Some of you have let that man live on the inside of you for years, now for many years. And that new creature on the inside of you, you have never once let him talk. When I was studying right at this point, in this message, and I'd asked the Lord, first part of the week, what do you want me to speak about? And I had two messages in mind. And just as I got to this in the scripture, to the lady called that used to go to our church, and she said, "Pastor Darrell, I haven't been able to speak to you. Said, "I am filled with such power inside that I cannot even talk." She said, "Can you tell me what's going on? Can you tell me what's going on?" I said, "Betty, remember when you were first saved and you spoke in tongues?" She said, "Yes, that was 30 years ago. I said, "Well, what happened to you? This is what happens. This is what you need to do. You need to stir up the people. Fan the flame that's in your soul, and the man that's inside of you, the Holy Ghost will begin to speak." And she sat there and tried to talk for a while. She said, "I can't talk." I said, "Then Betty, hang up the phone. Begin to worship. Worship, and the Holy Spirit will once again manifest himself." And say, "Darrell, you mean there's a man on the inside of you?" "Me? Oh, yes, folks. It is. It is. I'm talking out of my brain, my intellect right there. But the outward man, and the outward man is talking. But if you want to hear the inward man talk and begin to worship him, and let that inner man talk. Let that inner fire, let the Holy Ghost speak through you. Just begin to fan the fire, and it will begin to speak. He will begin to speak to you. And the spirit man will talk. That man in there can talk, he can know, he can feel." They all, the scripture goes on to say, they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Now here's the point I want to get across to you. Stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. Fan the flame. Keep that inner flame, inner fire burning. Just like my dad used to stir the live coals to get the fire burning. Now I'm going to give you a few ways to keep the inner fire burning. I want you to turn to John chapter 4. Now before we read this, here's the basis for the points I want to make tonight. If you will discover that why the Holy Ghost is in you, and if you will discover what he does, and what his function is, and why he is there, and his abilities, if you will begin to cooperate with him in these areas, then you will stir him up to action. But the Holy Ghost will never help you build a wall between you and another Christian. The Holy Ghost will never help you cause division in the church. He will not. If you ever think that he will answer that kind of a prayer, he will not. He'll turn a deaf ear to you. He's not going to do it. But if you will begin to flow in the areas of the function of the Holy Ghost, you will stir him up. That's what he's in there for. John chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and this is what he says, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him." God is spirit, folks. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If you will give yourself to a life of worship with God, the spirit will be stirred up within you, and the fire inside of you will be kindled, and the mighty flame will raise up. The Holy Ghost is with us to keep us worshiping the Father. One great difference between this congregation and the one down the street is that they do not believe in the Holy Ghost. The big difference is worship. The worship. The thing that happens around here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, the first thing is what a great lead us into worship. Gets us all in one mind and one accord. And then as we worship, the Holy Spirit begins to get stirred. It gets stirred. It begins to burn. But let me tell you, there's nowhere in the Bible tells you that the Holy Ghost went away, the tongue went away with the disciples. I've read the Bible many times, but the Holy Ghost did not go away with the disciples. Folks, he is here tonight, and he is wanting you to stir up the gift. That's the gift of God in you, and he wants you to stir it up. There's no release of our spirit. There's no release of ourselves. Without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there is no baptism. Without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we don't have that ability to release it. Just lift our hands and we don't have the ability to lift our hands and our hearts to God and to worship Him. We don't have that ability without the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost gives us the ability to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now look at Romans chapter 5. This is point number 2. Verse 5 of Romans 5 says, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." So I want you to write that down. Worship God. Then live a life of love. And this is so important. The Holy Ghost is in you to help you to love. I enjoyed the latest Sunday night when most of them spoke about love. And it was so touching. Simple but touching. And it thrilled my heart to see them begin to testify and give their stories. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, we don't have much love. We don't have much genuine love. But the Holy Ghost floods us with the love of God for everyone when He comes in. I've seen some tough old boys that got saved and had never showed emotion for anybody. After they got saved, and this probably fits Larry, they could hug a telephone pole and be proud of it. That's what God does in your heart when you get saved, folks. It humbles you to the point that you love everybody. The Holy Ghost will help you to worship. The Holy Ghost will help you to love. When you cease to love, there is no outflow of love in you. The Holy Ghost ceases to work. When you become cold in the church and you begin to be indifferent, and you don't love everybody, you don't love like you used to love, you see the Holy Ghost, that flame, and begin to get dim and get cool. But when you begin to worship again, the Holy Ghost begins to be stirred up. That Holy Ghost comes back and it warms that love in your heart. You can follow every rule of this church or any other church. You can have the doctrine of the church memorized and down pat, but if you don't have love, what you do does not function in love, it's not going to work. Now, I want you to listen to what the apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, the love chapter of the Bible. It says, "Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, have become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I folks, Holy Ghost love never fails. And if you want to get it burning, all you have to do is begin to worship Him and stir that flame inside of you. Let the Holy Ghost love come to the surface. That's Holy Ghost love, folks. That's stirring up the gift that's in you. Encourage everybody. Love everybody. Love our denominational brothers. Love our non-denominational brothers. Our fellowship is not in the baptism, folks. It's in the blood. It's in the blood. But it's the baptism that puts it there. Puts it there. The fact that puts the love in you is the inner fire. How can you keep the inner fire burning inside of you? Give your life to worship. Give your life to love every part of the body of Christ. When I first walked in here, 4 or 5 years ago, one Sunday morning, a big brother by the name of Jack, Bradshaw, he met me at the door and he hugged me. He said, "Welcome to Glad Tidings." At the end of the service, this great, big, tall guy that doesn't have any hair on his head, but he's got a goat. He came over and put his arms around me and said, "I love you." You see, that's Holy Ghost love. And it was soon, each one of you guys began to come to me. And now there's one, and when he passes down the aisle, he'll stop and say, "I love you. I love you." After all these years, he still stops me and says, "I love you." Even when he's good, he loves me. "I love you, dear." And folks, that's Holy Ghost love in you. "I love you." Give your love. Give your love. Life to worship. Give your life to love every part of the body of Christ. Give your life to the world that needs God. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Father. Live that life of worship and love, and God will live mightily, inhabited by the Holy Spirit that's within you. He'll give you power. For what? He'll give you power to witness. It'll give you power to be an overcomer. It'll be a power to help you to walk uprightly. It'll give you power to be a money giver. Folks, it'll give you power to love. Love, unconditional. That's God's love. When the pastor gets back, some of you probably have never maybe hugged Sister Grim or Brother Grim and told him you love him. Love him. You know, he's gone through a trying time this week. You know, he'll be tired. But I would like to ask him when he comes in next Sunday, if you have to make a special effort to get to him, love him. Tell him, "I love you. I love you. We missed you." Show them your love. That's godly love. But without the Holy Ghost, you can't hold that in your mind and love in your heart. I wanted to say this one thing. All of us do. I doubt that most of you know the song that says, "Holy Spirit, flow through me. Holy Spirit, flow out from me. Make my life what it ought to be. Holy Spirit, flow through me." Does anybody know that?